Blog well, good morning, Radio.
Today is the 25th, and we are on the verge of Thanksgiving, as opposed to getting ready to get into what you're supposed to be thankful for, or I'm supposed to be thankful for. Let's talk about what's going on right now. Hope you're well. Very warm here. Very warm, I must say, but days that seem like they're so full of meaning and opportunity, but also disaster. Now, Trump is readying for leaving any chance of an 11th hour victory. I ask you, my friends, we are at a historic precipice. Can we win? We are probably losing our once-in-a-lifetime leader, once-in-a-hundred-year leader. A furious horde of barbarians retakes the White House as we prepare ourselves for years in the wilderness. During this time, we must repair to our historical and holy sources and re-educate ourselves while we train for the next generation. We don't give up. We don't stop preparing. It's our own fault we're in this position, to be honest, if you can handle that. And, you know, so it's our opportunity to get ready and to get our people ready again. And we've seen that one person can make a gigantic difference. Did you see that article that came out by this guy? All of these people in DC share the same personality. They all hate Trump. They all think that he needs to die in so many different various ways, politically, physically, intellectually, mentally, spiritually. They take absolutely no, they give no gratitude to the guy for what he did. Okay, why don't they give any gratitude? Because really this is kind of a disinformation. It's kind of a, socialist, communist, whatever you want to call it. I would tell anybody not to worry about calling people communists when you can call them socialists. It's the same deal. But it's this way of handling opposition. And the number to call in, folks, 516-387-1963. And so it's how it's done at the highest level. Now, you might say the highest level we'd be talking about, O'Connell. And I would say, well, it may not be the highest level. The opposition may not be the highest level of ability, but it's certainly the highest level of opposition, and it may not have been done well a lot of times, but it was consistent. You got to admit that. So all things being equal, let's go through 10 seemingly obvious points here. Number one, Sidney Powell does not have the goods. It seems like it. She's supposed to be turning something in today. Why do I say that? Because she would have tipped her hand a little bit. Although I guess you could argue that she did tip her hand. Number two, what happens to widespread voting illegalities? And that's, I think, what we're on the precipice of learning here. We're on the verge of learning that the thing that's going on now is we're going to find out about the all of the crazy things that happened during the election, and all the things that happen a lot of times that we don't usually notice because we're all distracted and we don't think about the options or the ways that people got there. And we look at other countries and we laugh at their voting because we know that voting is important, but we also realize that our own voting is never been perfect, and it's very, I guess, kind of nerve-wracking to think about the problems in your own. And one of the things that you have to take into consideration is I remember this guy Burt Reynolds, who's a dead movie star now, but at one point he was about the most popular movie star out there and constantly under scrutiny, and they ask him what it was like, you know, basically to be a rich, famous, handsome movie star. And he said, well, I'll tell you one thing, everything underneath a microscope looks ugly. And so he's talking about himself and all the articles that came out about him. But I think the point here is that there's no perfect system. And if you take advantage of the flaws of the system, if your point, like the Democrats, depending on what position they're in, they will say that there has been this terrible fraud. And I think that they wanted to say that before this election because they were fearful that Biden was going to lose. Now, do I believe that Biden lost? I do, because of so much illegality. But, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, this guy, Biden, if you've ever been to Disney World, he's like one of these animatronic robots that just sits there and spits out stuff that's pre-recorded. So the power behind the throne in this is the socialists, is the Marxist, is Kamala Harris. And what are they going to try to do? Let's just say, best case scenario, we keep the Senate and we get the House back in 2 years. That's 2 years of dead time. Except for presidential decision making, you know, I've got a phone, I've got a pen, style Obama. And we've got 2 years in which we have to fight back. So there were 21 senators who said they didn't like or hated Trump. Now, why would you go on record to say that? I mean, Trump has delivered you three Supreme Court justices, incredible justices, probably. Although, you know, I mean, how good are they? I don't know. Who knows? I guess the Federalist Society is opposed to Trump as well. Everybody's opposed to Trump. Trump was trying to put the American people first. I think he largely did that. Was he a victim of his own personality? Perhaps. But don't forget this, that Trump brought everything that he promised. I do believe in those frantic last days of all the stuff that he was up to, all the campaigning, he certainly did do 10,000 times more than Biden could ever do. Biden is mentally and physically incompetent. But so what are we going to do with the widespread voting illegalities? We're going to have to go after them case by case. State by state, you know, you're going to have to get involved in the system, or the system runs you over. It's like a car, you know, it's like a boulder. You are in the system. Are you going to take part in the system, or are you going to stand there and complain? And I mean, Republicans have complained that things are not perfect. They're not done perfectly. And so the upshot is that here's my take on everything, because I just wrote this opening, and I could write 100 different openings depending on the mood or the times. But I think, you know, actually maybe tomorrow I'm going to approach this. The problem with the Republicans is because of the Republicans, because we were lazy, we were self-righteous, we were indignant. Instead of getting involved, and, you know, Republicans don't like to fight, right? Because it's dirty. Because you end up doing and saying things that are unseemly, and it's risky. And you can't claim the higher ground if you're in the gutter fighting. But the reason that the Republic is in the situation that it's in with all of these crazy, I mean, it's like a cult, isn't it? These crazy people, they all say the same things about Trump. It is the insane thing that's happening now, and it's like invasion of the body snatchers. Every person you turn to, every person you expect help from is a body snatcher. And so the thing to do that you learn from Trump is you never back down from a fight. And the reason you don't is you don't know when your last fight is. You don't know when you're going to lose total power. You don't know when you're going to have compromised yourself so much. And so what happens is people in power do what they want to do. And people who are out of power trying to get back into power. I'm talking about official power here, but the Republicans are their babies. They are complainers. They are backstabbers. They want a certain kind of life. The incredible life that you have being in Washington, D.C., being on the stage at all times. They want the perks. They want the acceptance. They want the support and esteem of their peers. And why are they there? Why are these people in Washington? They're at a service, right? What is republicanism? It is ultimately self-government. And I could go through many ways that we approach that, but some of the ways is we have a very complex government that is split into three parts. We have all kinds of institutions that moderate power so that one person or one group doesn't get too much power. And as you see what happens when the Democrats are fighting for power, they're trying to destroy institutions because they understand that the institutions are what keep them from having unbridled power. So what would they want to do with the power? Well, they want to come in with these gigantic schemes for global warming. They want to enforce gender rules. They want to, and here's the latest thing that I heard. If you want to know whether people are crazy or not, these people want to bring in, you know what egalitarianism is? Well, these people want to bring in an idea that you shouldn't get the job just simply because you're the best. And every day I hear something that is so insane, and I think it can't get any worse. And I just, I wish I'd have kept that clip because I was so, I was so just overtaken by it. Do you want to go in, and this is one of the things that affirmative action where, you know, people get into school based on the group they're in. And the group that they're in then is related to the qualities of the person. So you want the smartest people doing the hardest things. And it is understandable that there's a push against this because there's a lot of resentment because, I mean, in this case, the claim is white people have an unmitigated advantage because they're elite. You know, they're raised in elite settings. They go to special schools. They get all the breaks. You know, people have historically seen white people walking down the road and they go and sweep in front of them and all that stuff. But realistically, you want people who are highly trained to and have the highest achievement to be brain surgeons, to be rocket scientists, to be leaders. because we want that extra advantage. And what they're fighting for in the society now is to put people in there based on racial and gender and sexual and fill in the blank there. Egalitarianism, a broad egalitarianism means equality. Now there's equality of opportunity. Everybody gets the same chance to go forward. There is the equality of outcome, and that's what they're. So egalitarianism, according to dictionary. Internet Dictionary, relating to or believing in the principle that all people are equal and deserve equal rights and opportunities. So anyway, that's just one of the things going on. There's so many things that we're fighting about. Okay, back to our list. 3, Trump probably loses, repairs to Mar-a-Lago and awaits lawsuits. What a terrible, you know, think about that. If these guys could totally destroy Trump based on hate, because they hate him, because they hated him as soon as he tried to run for office. I mean, ultimately, that his crime was to oppose the elites. Now, does he run again? Now, let me ask you this. If you are, I guess if you're on the left, it doesn't matter, but if you are a person who is Republican in your thinking, GOP or conservative, would you support Trump again? You know, what were his strengths versus his weaknesses? And he seems to be the front runner. They say that this guy Pompeo wants to run for president. But what about Ted Cruz? What about you've got certain, they say these 21 people, the 21 senators that hated Trump. And this guy, is it Carl Bernstein? He's like one of the worst people I've ever seen. I mean, Just to do whatever he could to pour poison and evil into the mix. It's just so crazy. So here are the 21 names of the people that hate Trump. John Cornyn. Rick Scott, John Cornyn, Texas, Rick Scott, Florida, John Thune, Senate Majority Whip, John Thune hates him. The other are Rob Portman, Ohio, Lamar Alexander, Tennessee, Ben Sass, Nebraska, Roy Blunt, Missouri, Susan Collins, Maine, Lisa Murkowski, Alaska, Mitt Romney, Utah. I mean, some of them go without saying. Mike Braun, Indiana, Todd Young, Indiana. I guess Indiana hates Trump. Tim Scott, South Dakota. Tim Scott, South Dakota. Marco Rubio, Florida. Chuck Grassley, Iowa. That surprised me a little bit. Richard Burr, North Carolina. Former lawnmower salesman. Pat Toomey, Pennsylvania. Martha McSally, Arizona. Man, she is so far into the toast. She got beat so bad. Jerry Moran, Kansas. Pat Roberts, Kansas. Richard Shelby, Alabama. And so anyway, those people, you know, somebody loses, somebody who really poured their all into a job and probably helped all these people, and they go on the record somehow of hating Trump. So that's what he gets. Meanwhile, the rejuvenated party seeks to fight back. What is it going to mean? How are the people going to take the beating? I mean, Trump came along and kind of rescued the GOP. The GOP had fallen onto hard times. And after Obama, there was a lot of bully beatdowns with Obama. There was a lot of things forced down their throat. And I mean, I think it gets to a certain point where a lot of people don't they don't accept, they're not, I think they're not in their, a lot of people are fall out of the Republican camp because they don't really, they're not in power, and it seems like Republicanism or conservatism doesn't exist anymore. And so, you know, and so that's why you need leadership. And, you know, one of the things that this country needs, I'm sure that you agree, left or right, is we need better training. We need the teachers' unions to stop fiddling with the curriculum. And what we need to get in there is teaching for kids about the founding fathers, and not that they were rapists and slave owners and you know, greedy scumbags, that they came up with the greatest form of government with their flaws, whatever flaws they had. They never said they didn't have flaws, but they came up with the greatest government in the world. And the reason they didn't come up with this idea of being flawless is because the entire form of government is built on republicanism, the idea of transparent government, the government of the people, for the people, by the people, and that it's not a hidden government, it's not a government of the elites. And so you've got a government that can have the greatest impact on the world, and we invented it. Seeds of it came out of Europe, but we invented it over here. And you know, when you've got one party that wants exclusive power, does things to the harm of the population, either out of a benighted sense of saving everybody or out of the idea that you need to control it. The purpose of life is to getting into power to control people. That is where deep and profound evil comes from. So the let me get through these other points and ask you what is the future hold for Republicans? All right, let's say Trump decides to run again. There's going to be a pushback. So how's that going to play out? An unholy, all right, number five, meanwhile, rejuvenated, let's say Trump runs again, four. Meanwhile, rejuvenated party seeks to fight back. Fighting back against the evil that occurs when the Democrats get back into power and start making mistakes and putting their terrible, you know, ideas in. And so they, it's number six, an unholy unfit socialists assume power. Seven, we fight off as much as possible and take back the House, which I think is right around the corner. Eight, we prepare the next candidate for prez, which is Trump, or maybe it's not going to be one of the 21. Those guys wiped themselves out. John Thune, I wouldn't have guessed it. John Cornyn, I wouldn't have guessed it. The self-righteous, judgmental types who were glad to have a nice economy but didn't want to defend Trump. They wanted three justices in the court, in the Supreme Court, but they didn't want to support Trump. I mean, I see the GOP as kind of this holdover from, you know, after the Civil War, where, you know, they're on the side of the, you know, the Republican Party was on the side. The Republican Party was the party of anti-slavery, obviously, even though that's what the Democrats pretend they were. Democrats were the party of the KKK and keeping power for the slave owners, and which they still try to do in the black community. But the GOP acts like they are, I don't know, they're sitting there, they're on the plant, on the X plantation. They're on their front of the house sipping lemonade. You know, it's just, it's sad. But the next state, the next, number nine, we remake our vows, recommit ourselves to conservatism. Number 10, my friends, what is happening right now is everything. Let's get those Georgia Senate seats. Let's fight off the fraud for once. So, all right. So what is going on right now. Well, okay, so you've got this lady, her name is Sydney Powell, and she claimed to have found all this stuff, and the stuff that she found was epic and jaw-dropping and astounding. And so it will not just shock everybody, but it'll knock these courts on the head and get them to fight back for the votes. And I mean, once you've got states that are certifying the election, it gets harder and harder and harder to fight it off. Is it possible that Trump would win? I think what you'd need to have is a broad showing of illegality across these states, and the court would have to, in its plenary power, which is vast powers that it has, to take in the topic and ask for a... And this is really what should happen. And John Roberts is the wrong person to lead the court. And he's always kind of reminded me of this guy, Tom Hanks. Kind of looks like him, kind of acts like him. And I was kind of waiting for them to make the Supreme Court movie, you know, the John Roberts movie. But John Roberts is I don't know how conservative he was when he came into power, but he somehow compromised himself. I think he became Stockholm syndrome when President Obama got up with all this popularity with the media behind him and said, you know, the Supreme Court, if you go after my Obamacare, you're just 9 unelected people. That shook John Roberts to the bone, and he got converted to statism. He got converted to this idea of institutionalism, where institutions run the country, and that's not true. The institutions are to serve the country, not to run the country. I don't want to call her crazy, but I think what happened is Sidney Powell became near to power, and, you know, with Flynn, she became friendly with Trump, and she got all this stuff that was basically QAnon, it was Pizzagate, it was all of the stuff that's out there. Now, how does she take all the phone calls, all the emails, all the faxes that are claiming to have seen or heard or have proof of election fraud? How does she turn those into overthrowing the election? And I haven't heard anything other than from her, and I did from Giuliani. But I wanted to know from Giuliani, did you get this from... Is it possible that he got it from Sidney Powell, who I think is completely way over her head, you know? And so the answer is maybe, you know. Giuliani has done a lot of stuff for Trump. He's been his personal attorney. He's represented him a lot. And, you know, he's like 78, you know. I mean, at a certain point you begin to kind of run out of power. But I just think that they never really had the goods, and the conspiracy theory of China throwing this all out, and, you know, it was so attractive. It fits into everything that we think about communism and know about these people. And so, look, I mean, you want to sex something up, throw in communism, throw in double spy, double agents, throw in election fraud, and, you know, all of the craziness of the Democratic Party. You put all that in there, and you end up with something that is very, very volatile. It's very, you know, it blows up in your face. And And it blew up. You know, I think it blew up in the face of the people that were going after it. You know, they were. They were so, and I think everybody in the party looked at these races and said that it can't happen that way. And then let me just try to find for you a little clip here from Sydney of what she's talking about. But it is a worldwide. It was a worldwide phenomenon. And so it was intoxicating. It was this idea that we're living at the most pregnant and poignant time in history, and we've got to get that out there and fight for a president. And I still believe, in the midst of criticizing Sidney Powell, that Trump was defrauded. But so how was he defrauded? And we do have a phone call. I do appreciate the call. Let's bring this caller in. I'm trying. Here we go. Good morning, caller. Hello.
Good morning. Can you hear me? Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you doing today?
Okay. I'm at your description page, and it says that all things being equal, chances are Sidney Powell does not have the goods. What makes you think that?
Well, all right. So, you know, I didn't want to believe that at all because I had done a lot of research on this and found that there was, before she was saying stuff, I found out that these machines were made in Venezuela
Yeah, to help Hugo Chavez and Maduro. I know about that, but I'm asking, what do you think? Why do you think she doesn't have the goods?
Because there's a couple of reasons. Number one, she hasn't really shown anything, although she's mentioned it, but she hasn't shown it. Number one. Number two, there is a lot of disinformation out there, and I think she's a very good person, very smart, very capable person. She's out of her area in election law, which is not the end of the world, but I think she might be a little bit naive as to how much disinformation is on the internet.
All right. Okay, now, when I first saw what you had written, I'm thinking I have the opposite view than you. And just as I was calling in, I was thinking of a reason why she may not have the goods, and that's because Trump supposedly fired her. Now, Trump is a master showman, and Trump wants to win the case in the Supreme Court. So it's possible, then, that Sidney, even though she has a very good reputation, mainly because of her defense of General Flynn, maybe she doesn't have the goods. But if what she said at that press conference is true, then she's got a very devastating case against the Democrats and against Georgia and against Pennsylvania. And if she does have the goods, I mean, if she does have those affidavits, if she can prove that the machines, Dominions, that they were made for Hugo Chavez, and they were made specifically to overthrow the election in our country, then Trump should be very, very, very happy. But if he's dismissed her, then maybe on that basis, she might not have the goods. But that would make her one of the stupidest lawyers of all time.
No. I'm with you 100%, 1,000% here. Here's the thing is, okay, what I did this show yesterday, you probably didn't hear it, but you're doing kind of thinking through things, and I came to the conclusion that the number one thing was time. The number two thing is strategy. Strategy is built out of knowledge of the law and experience in the courts and everything. But the number one thing that we're dealing with here is time, and she's burning up the time with these rather dramatic and, I have to say, highly entertaining news conferences. But I'm thinking, when she got fired, I already had kind of a, I had this feeling that, I mean, it just sounded too good to be true. You know what I mean?
I mean, too good to be true for her to be fired, or too good to be true for the evidence that she says that she has at the press conference?
Yeah, like, well, it's like sometimes people sell these companies. They sell a company, they get investments based on curing cancer or whatever, and the claim is so giant that it's so exciting it would change, you know, human history, but then inevitably, the fraud comes out. Now, I'm not saying she's a fraudster, because she wasn't a fraudster with Michael Flynn, but she's out of her area of knowledge, and the clock is ticking, the sand's going through the hourglass, and there's this sense, okay, this is great, but what if she's wrong? What if she made a mistake? Because that would really put everybody behind the eight ball, because we only have so many days to put the strategy and the evidence and the motions together.
Well, if she made a mistake, that really says that she's incompetent, which kind of dovetails from what I said a few minutes ago, saying that if she said what she had said and doesn't have anything to back it up, she's got to be one of the dumbest people in the world. Because to say something that publicly,
yeah,
and to have to bring it to a legal arena,
yep,
and not be able to do it, that's dumb.
It's dumb, or it could be. What if we just said that she was in a unique experience and she got excited? You know, you can even hear it in her voice. It kind of cracks, and somebody said she kind of sounds like Katharine Hepburn on Golden Pond. She's got that kind of waver in her voice. It just sounds a little bit hysterical sometimes, but I think that if you're writing a movie, she's got a great script. But I think
she's already been the executive producer of a movie. But the thing
she
is,
has been?
She's got it.
I didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah, 2013, she was the executive producer. Forget the name of the movie. But the thing is that she has such a laundry list of particulars with regards to smarter track, smart tech, Dominion, Hugo Chavez, Barcelona, then Frankfurt. The one thing that will put a chink in her armor was that I heard about a week ago, that one of the servers, which was in Frankfurt, had been captured by the United States Army. Okay, so if it had been retrieved by the United States Army, it should have been investigated by forensic scientists by now, and Trump should have been notified of what was on that server. Now, unless they seized it in an illegal way, then it shouldn't have been a problem. Or the story is not true about the Army seizing it. In any case, she mentioned this particular type of server.
So if that's true, and knowing Trump, why didn't he mention it?
Well, then, yeah. Well, Trump is a guy that keeps his cards close to the vest. People forget, this guy is a master showman and a master deal maker. He doesn't reveal what he's going to do all the time in public.
Right.
Because he wouldn't be able to make deals that way. So you got Giuliani,
okay,
who he's known years, and Giuliani just loves him.
Yeah, no, and I know, but let me ask you this. Your best explanation for what happened during the 2020 presidential election, what really happened?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's fraud.
What's your theory?
I mean, not only the Sidney Powell, and the same thing that Giuliani and Powell were talking about. There was an organized effort, had to be, across the particular states in order to bring in the mail-in ballots, so that the mail-in ballots would have to count to overcome any kind of lead that Trump had. We can't forget that on election night, he was up by something like 750,000 votes.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they stop counting, and then they come back.
Right.
That's unprecedented.
Right.
Never happened before. Okay.
So, it gives you,
so you
a
have
deep
to ask
sense
yourself,
of disease.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know how deep you are into politics, but I've been following politics for just a few years. And I believe that anybody is corrupt, and anybody can become corrupt, Republicans and Democrats.
Right.
And I believe that the
that's
normal person
is, that,
can be so.
That's how our government is designed. Yeah. Our government's designed to fight against that, right? We have the powers opposing each other, right? We have the courts, in theory anyway. We have the courts. We have the executive. We have the Congress. They're all fighting against one another for power, and that's they decided to do that because they deeply believed in, whether they were Christians or not, they had a Christian worldview that mankind is sinful. We've got to figure out a way to diffuse a lot of this too much power, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. So they developed the three branches of government, and they're supposed to be the checks and balances involved. The thing is that man is corrupt. You can easily corrupt man with 21 pieces of silver. Now, this is the thing. The major obstacle to people actually accepting what the Congress could have done in terms of corruption is the fact that, yeah, they can accept that Congress is corrupt, making backroom deals, maybe making a few hundred thousand or a million here and there as a result of corruption. But nobody believes, very few, that Congress is capable. I mean, the vast majority of them, if not all of them, they're very capable of selling the American citizen down the river to communists for just a few million bucks. They don't want to accept that.
Of course.
They cannot
accept
that.
Of course, I mean, isn't that what Biden did? Biden made deals with China and Russia. I mean, what do people think, even if you're sympathetic to Biden and you love the family and you think that Hunter's just this lovable little screw-up, what do they think that people were getting, that the Bidens were getting, what the countries were getting in exchange for that?
Well, when you talk about the millions of dollars and I think the $3 billion that went to Hunter Biden and then eventually went to Joe Biden, yeah. So, I mean, if you take a look at the wealth at the start of the careers of our politicians, okay? So when they first get elected, they may be lawyers and doctors and other wealthy entrepreneurs. So they may be worth a couple million bucks by the time they get elected. But by the time they're in Congress for 10 years or so, they're worth 10, 15, 20 million or more. And you have to ask yourself, how does some asshole who's making $175,000 a year at the end of 10 years get $10 million and a couple of mansions on that salary? So he's selling out to lobbyists.
You know, when this lady Waters, Maxine Waters, who is on a list for the most corrupt politicians in government, she doesn't live in her district. She lives in a mansion somewhere else in LA. And the guy that was running against her, although he lost, was able to point this stuff out. And, you know, all of these people that are fighting against this, you know what, let me get your opinion on something here that I find absolutely astounding. Trump is attacked from the beginning by the left because they knew what it was all about. They knew how powerful he was. But Trump, at least half of the GOP hates him from the beginning, too. How do you understand the GOP's disagreement with Trump, where you got these 21 senators that are saying he's garbage?
Oh, that's easy.
How do you
That's easy. Because the GOP, look, here's what you can do. To me, years ago, I came across that conclusion that Congress will sell us out. I mean, Congress will sell us out easily to communists, the Russians, to anybody, just for money. Doesn't matter. So when I came to that conclusion and I emotionally accepted it, and it's hard to accept, emotionally, because it's almost like an epiphany. But everything comes into play, comes into order. Everything makes sense. So here's one way of thinking of it to actually explain that question of yours. Think of it this way. Think of the Democrats as the Bananos family. Think of the Republicans as the Genovese family. Now, if you knew that if you had 200 Genovese members in Congress and 200 Bananos family members in Congress, what would happen? They would be so corrupt.
Yeah.
They would always be looking out for themselves. They would be trying to sell us out to make millions of dollars. Yet, they would be making business deals between themselves to cut up the pie. Jesse Ventura once said, politicians are like wrestlers. Wrestlers get into the ring and they beat each other to death, and then afterwards they go out and have a beer. Same thing with politicians.
Yeah.
They cut each other up publicly, but then privately behind closed doors, they're making deals. They're cutting up the pie.
What's funny is how these guys go into office on some legend that they're somebody different, that they're fighting for the people. You got the Marco Rubios. You've got the, Scott in Florida. You've got all these guys that have come out and attacked Trump. They're not different. They're not different people. They're all the same person. And I think it was such a shock, even if people knew it in their bones, to see it play out, the amount of hatred for Trump in the GOP. And I was thinking, why is he hated? And I think he doesn't kiss people's butts. He asks people for help. He gets help from people or forces them to help him. And then there is deep-rooted disdain and anger towards this guy because he's more powerful or he's more famous than they are. And they can't handle it, and he doesn't need them. He doesn't have to kiss their butts. You know, like, he was the most famous man in America before he ran for office, right?
One of them, sure.
You know, with a show. And he had these billions of dollars. He didn't need it. And so, you know, all these attacks against him, he wanted to be a tyrant. Hey, I haven't seen that personally. He wanted to enrich himself. He did it to double his wealth or whatever. I haven't seen that. He's lost billions of dollars being in there. But it should slowly dawn on people, especially after he gets out of office, he tried to do everything good for us that he possibly could.
Well, yeah, but people are brainwashed to what he's done because, as I said, they're brainwashed. They get their brainwashing from elementary school through high school through college.
Yep.
And the reason why they hate Trump, it goes even beyond that. Huh?
All right. Give me your prediction as to what happens next in terms of
Trump's going to win.
Number one, do you think that Trump is going to win on the next election, or he's going to win now?
No, he's going to win this election.
Wow.
Even if Sidney Powell isn't on the team. Giuliani and other people will go to court. They will win that particular case, which is all important, in the Supreme Court. And the media, which keeps telling about how all of their motions and their going in front of various judges have been dismissed, that's not all them. There are other people who have been giving motions to the court and setting up appointments to make their cases in court, which have been dismissed, besides Giuliani and Powell. But he's going to win because it doesn't matter about the popular vote. It matters about the electors. And I predict that the electors are going, enough of them, are going to flip and vote for Trump again. And Georgia still might be up for grabs. And if it gets to the Supreme Court, and I think it will, because we're in November now, the inauguration is January 20th. So we have November, a few days, December, and January. And when the evidence is presented in front of the court, they're going to rule that election fraud, not that he won, but that it was definitely election fraud. And as
all
a
right,
result,
so here's the question.
There's going to
Here's the question.
Yeah.
What's the remedy? So I was talking to some people. I'm an attorney, so you know, one of the issues that you deal with in court is somebody hires you to sue somebody. What's the remedy for this thing? And so that's the question here. If, let's just say, there was a lot of illegality in Philly. We know that there was. We know that there was a lot of stuff. Here's a main question for you. There's a lot of stuff that is technically shouldn't be accepted because they covered up the windows. They wouldn't let people in. All of these ballots were opened for Biden, but what's the remedy for that? You throw those out? Do you possibly disenfranchise hundreds of thousands of people? What's your take on that?
we have to disallow the illegal votes. If you find that the mail-in ballots have been illegally signed or there haven't been signatures for them, you don't count them. You have to have a recount, and you have to have an audit. And if that isn't good enough, then in certain states, you have to have the election all over again. That's the remedy. And if people say, you're disrupting the system. All you got to do is just have the vote 1 week from the time that they've come down with the decision. And this time, you definitely have Democratic and Republican observers. They definitely count the ballots along with the poll workers. And that's the result. And then you have to make sure that mail-in ballots are not counted unless they match the signature. You have to try to make sure as much as possible that people aren't voting twice if they move from one state to another. But if it comes down to a re-election on two or three states, so be it.
Wow.
People say, there's no precedent for it.
I love it.
Well, look, this is very important, historical. Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to say, I know it's very important, but do you think that, let's just say that, there's the human eye level, there's God's eye level and everything, and do you think that in the long term that maybe the Democrats have incredibly damaged themselves and set up a good return for Trump in 4 years?
No. Because the American people are stupid. The Republicans won't care. So they won't want Trump. And they'll brainwash the people into not having it after 4 years. After Reagan left, people thought that the Republicans would adopt Reaganism. And they didn't. They're not going to adopt Trumpism either. He'll be gone.
They did.
And Trump might even do it longer.
And I wonder what Trump might set up a media empire. What would it look like?
And as a result of that, the media empire? He will set up his own network. He'll get let's not forget what I said before. Two very powerful qualities about him. He's a master showman, and he's a master deal maker. One of the best in the country, if not the world. You don't acquire $1 billion.
Right.
Without knowing what you're doing. And his forte is showmanship, marketing. Okay? That's why he made Twitter famous. Okay?
Right.
Because of him and his 20 million followers, people now know that you can reach other people through Twitter. All right? Because he knew that his message wasn't going to be out there through the mainstream media. Okay? In terms of his master deal making, he's made successful trade deals with China, Mexico, and I think he's done three Mideast deals with the Arabs and the Israelis. So he knows what he's
there's supposed to be more doing. Coming. There's supposed to be more coming on that.
Good. And I wish that that's why they were against him, the Democrats and the Republicans, because he was messing around with their lobbyist money. They probably get a lot of millions of dollars out of the table from Boeing, General Motors, General Electric, all the other defense contractors. Have you ever read a book called War is a Racket by Smedley Butler?
No, it sounds like a fascinating title, though.
Okay, Smedley Butler was a two-time, in a nutshell, like I was about to say, he's a two-time Congressional Medal of Honor winner. He was a general, okay? He fought in World War I, World War II, and he realized that all the wars are done for profit. They're not done for democracy. They're not done for other countries' nationalism. They're done for profit, whether it's the profit of the dictators or whether it's the profit of the bankers who finance them. It's done for profit. It's only 96 pages long. It's a nice, easy read, okay? And it's by a guy that when he came out after World War I or World War II,
Smedley Butler.
The magnets of Smedley, S-M-E-D-L-E-Y, Smedley Butler. And you can download the book.
It's free.
I just
found it for free.
That's right.
Good. I'll read it. I'll definitely read. So we're running out of time here, but sum up. Give us a little bit of a prediction here, so people can think about it.
Trump is going to win. They're going to think about that because most people think Trump's going to lose. He's going to win. He's a fighter. If he doesn't win, then America is fucked. And I mean fucked.
Ouch.
We're going to have communism in this country settling in full bore within about 2 years. People, if you want to think
Holy
about something,
cow.
You better hope Biden doesn't win. Because your freedoms are going away. He's already made public his mandate for wearing the mask 24/7. The vaccinations aren't going to be good. I'm not taking them. I don't trust them. The schools are going to be closed full time. Industry will never come back. The economy is going to suffer. So people, you better get ready for that. You know. So those are my parting words.
Thank you. How about a first name?
My name's Joe.
For yourself.
From Montana.
Thank you. Wonderful caller.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
A wonderful caller.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a great day. Okay.
Okay.
All right, folks. So you just heard Joe there, which had a lot of wisdom, a lot of hope there. Let me ask you this. Is it possible that Trump is still going to pull it out? If anybody could pull it out, isn't it Donald Trump? So does Sidney Powell have the goods? Is she giving something today that is going to boost the entire world of conservatism to fight back against voter fraud that everybody knows happened just by watching how it happened that night? Or is it going to be a letdown? Is it going to be a bunch of affidavits that don't seem to mean anything that could just be put on by, you know, any random person on the street? Here, I'll give you an affidavit. So anyway, thanks for listening and thanks for the call from Joe. Let's get working to support Trump. And I'll take you out with a little bit of this famous closing music, but have a great day, Kelly O'Connell. KO Knockout Radio. Ciao.
I've been drifting on the sea of heartbreak, trying to get myself.